Oh, the graphic is so good. Nice work.
The first time. Oh.
That's the first time I've seen it.
That's excellent.
Yeah. It turned out good.
Good to be back, guys. Thanks for all your prayers and well wishes while I was plagued. That was terrible. I hope none of the rest of you here, either watching or involved, get anything like what I just had over the past couple of weeks.
You fought the demon off. You made it.
Yeah, he is at bay. Let's keep him there. Lots to talk about, though. I mean, things started piling up over the time that we were not meeting together to talk about everything that Gala is up to game-wise. We can see that we're halfway through quarter one of 2024 now, that we've got a bunch of things that were set out there for us to anticipate. I guess we look back chronologically, we started hearing rumors of the Walking Dead empires, that they were going to do a reset. And that did actually happen in the course of the past couple of weeks. It was actually Thursday, the day after Valentine's Day. They launched their new update. And there was quite a bit packed into it. Now, I mean, the gameplay looks identical. You know, there's a lot of the same features, but it was the quality of life improvements that were really noticeable to it. They ended up bringing Zach and Brandon onto Ahead of the Game episode 38. That was with Bitbender two episodes ago. He interviewed them for a good chunk of time. It was about 20 minutes or so. From their perspective, the heaviest tech lift was what we're looking at here with this this interior of the police station. A lot of the heavy part of it was because they made it a seamless entry. There are, I believe, two entry points there. You can kind of see them in orange. They're off to the top right. No, not anymore. Anyway, there's. You walk in from the outside and you're inside all of a sudden. So the game expands that way. There you can see it. It had the arrow pointed out so that as you're playing, you can see how to get out of the interior. As of right now, these things, they're just parts of the game. They're live along with the rest of what's being hosted with the server. But what they did say is that they're going to be using the same sort of format for when they do instanced dungeons. And that'll allow for people to either solo or go in with a team and actually have like boss fights. And they won't have to wait around for things to respawn. Like as soon as you go in, nobody killed the monsters that were already in there for you. They're going to be spawned independently each time you a person or a group go in to fight that specific dungeon. A couple other things that they wanted to bring out were the pack up feature for your base. Before, you had to actually demolish your base when you wanted to move from, say, like the uncommon zone to the rare zone or whatever. You could only go up to a certain level in any of the rarity zones, and then it capped out, and you had to rebuild in the next highest rarity. Here now you can pack up your base. And then just redeploy it in the new zone. Or you could even redeploy it in the same zone if you wanted to. Say you didn't like the exact placement. I know I heard a couple people talking about how they set it down, and as it was expanding, they decided they wanted to just shift it a little bit. And that's now possible.
Nice.
You are able to also, they show this a little bit here, you're able to move items rather than having to destroy them. So you can actually pick up a wall and just put it in a different place rather than destroying it and then rebuilding it. First of all, that saves huge on materials costs. Second of all, it's just much more elegant. You know, that you can start out with one idea, but you don't really like it, and you can just move the wall around or move the door to a different place. And that's it's seemingly simple, but it's a real improvement for making the base building. And they even mentioned this, something that's enjoyable rather than like a chore.
100%. And you got to have the you know, especially with a new early game, you know, people want to be able to tweak with, okay, what structure style works best? Like, what is, you know, how many individual, do I need to partition off rooms? Can I have just one open space? You know, people want to have the ability to, you know, test it all out. And so if you don't have the option to move things and you're, like you said, locked in on your first draft, it kind of takes away from you wanting to try out new builds and, you know, do all those fun things.
Well, we rushed in the first iteration, we rushed the Blackheart base all the way to level 60. And I started just like making those walls as like high level as possible so that people couldn't blow them up. If I wanted to move one of those walls, I had to destroy it and start from level one and all the way back up. That's a thing of the past now. That's definitely a huge improvement design wise. Another thing that they implemented was a go back teleportation feature. So if you're out adventuring and your bags fill up, you can teleport back to your headquarters, and then you can immediately teleport back to where you came from. So it's debatable as to how necessary that is. I mean, it was already kind of easy to get around because you have the option of teleporting from to your headquarters or to an alliance mate's headquarters. But there are some people that just want to get back to what they were up to, you know, grinding, whether, say you were after hardwood or hardstone or something like that. That only shows up frequently in certain zones. And if you want to get right back to it, that way you don't have to like play around running through certain zones in order to get back there. So that is nice. And they've even gone so far as to say that that's something that this is still a demo. They do want realism to it. So they're not even sure if the teleportation features are going to make it to the like the final release style. But they'll play around with that and decide based on what the community likes and what they feel like fits the overall game in order to like to nail it. That same episode of Ahead of the Game, Jason briefly mentioned some hackathons. Apparently, there is a larger hackathon coming up during GDC, which is supposed to start, I think, on the 18th of March. So mid-March, there's going to be the Game Developers Conference. And he says they have as many as maybe 30 entries into this hackathon coming up. But they also closed one out on the 14th of February, and that only had four participants, one of which was the Last Expedition team. And it was kind of interesting that he mentioned that because just about 30 minutes later, there was an interview with Michael Klopper from the Last Expedition team. So like, it was a neat little dovetail there. Michael came on largely to talk about the way things have been rolling out since they moved from the token-gated gameplay to the free-to-play build. He wanted to kind of give everybody an idea of the way that the earnings, as of now, the way the earnings work. And we've seen in our Gala wallets that we have access to both the Gala chain version and the mint allowance version of what is it? Minerals, core fragments. I'm sorry, core chunks and fragment chunks. So these are the rewards that you can receive right now within the game, and they are not giving them out each game. They're going to be awarding them at the close of each. I guess it's kind of a season. The first season came to a close shortly before they did this interview, and people had those things sent to their Gala chain wallets. They reset the leaderboard. The leaderboard only shows the top 20, but you don't have to be in the top 20 to get something. They said that the leaderboard actually tracks out much further than that. They're just not reporting that on the site. The other people that are going to be able to earn those rewards are node owners who actually have people play on their nodes. So if you have a node, it's a good idea to be running it. But it's also a good idea to be advertising it, because if you don't have people actually using your server in order to play, then you're not going to qualify for those rewards. And there is a process to being verified. You have to log into the game yourself. And the other thing is to make sure that that your node is solid. I know that NerdNode is able to host Last Expedition nodes and can guarantee that they're solid.
We do.
Yeah, so if you're concerned that maybe your hardware at home isn't going to pull it off, I would look into the NerdNode service. Otherwise, like I said, you want to find reasons to invite people. Now, some people are going about it through the threat level. The threat level is based on the number of NFT creatures that you have. If you got in on the very first offering for the Last Expedition nodes, everybody that got in there got the ancient Ravager, and has been getting each of the releases since then. The Bone Snapper, the Porcupine, those things have been dropped to people who bought those first nodes. But those things are NFTs, and so many people were just like putting them up for sale, and they were also available in some of the mystery boxes. Yeah, you could pull even Ravagers out of the mystery boxes, couldn't you? So there have been people that have been collecting them and kind of hoarding them onto single servers. Well, that actually increases the difficulty. Like, if you can imagine one Ravager being a problem, just think about what a second one was going to do all of a sudden. And the game state reflects that. There's a measurement that they call threat level. And the higher the threat level, well, I guess it's speculative at this point. We can assume that the higher the threat level, the more valuable that experience is going to be. So we could just say it that way. And so there's a lot of people that are looking for that challenge. First of all, they want the higher threat level in order to be able to really test their own chops. But it could very well be that it rewards better to be playing on those servers. So for you as a node owner, if there's still any of them on the market, maybe you could beef up your own server in order to make it more appealing. Or again, you could just come up with some crafty little marketing techniques for yourself in order to get your name out there and get people playing on your server, because that's where it's really going to matter. If you just even if you're running your server, if no one's playing on it, it's not going to earn you anything.
Nice.
Amen.
Hey, I'm gonna interrupt real quick because I gotta get going actually.
Yeah.
But I'll let you guys do them all.
We don't need you.
I'll let you guys do them all. You guys do your thing. I gotta roll. But it's good to see you, Matt.
Thank you. It's good to see you, everybody.
Chat with you later, man.
All right. Bye.
The last big thing that came out of Ahead of the Game 38 was a video that you could hear Gofu's voice in the background. It was for Legends Reborn. Now he said that they were very satisfied with gameplay in general. So the interaction between the characters and the cards, that hasn't been what's really been occupying their attention. Instead, it's been more of the Web3 and economic design for the game that they've been concentrating on. And the first thing that he wanted to feature for us in this video was the events section. Going into events is similar to any of the other games that you can play that have like a Web2 presence. If we compare it to something like Dragon Strike, you can play Dragon Strike without ever having any Web3 experience. You just go in and start playing, and maybe even buy gems. You know, you could get them through the one of the play stores or something like that. But it isn't until you have an NFT character within Dragon Strike that you're able to get on the Gala leaderboard. Well, there's going to be some similar things here. That this events area, the arena event. This is all still under development, and he wanted to point out that the numbers that are assigned to these things are very arbitrary right now. They just wanted to be able to identify very readily whether or not certain items were being tallied in the points totals. So you can see that there's the wins in a tavern are in the hundreds. And then as he scrolls down, you're going to see that like actually owning a tavern is going to be in the tens of thousands of points. He says that the point totals aren't finalized, and we shouldn't get attached to that number. It's just there to be illustrative for their testing purposes. But that ultimately this is the way you're going to be able to gain points towards their leaderboard. And what was very interesting about their approach, they're not doing a daily distribution or fractionalized distribution. They want you to be able to see like precisely how much you're going to be able to earn. And so as you acquire points, it places you on a leaderboard. And so the points, he was very specific about the points being absolutes rather than percentages. You're not getting a multiplier by getting more points. You're just getting a score. And here you can see that based on what your score is, that puts you in a certain place, and that dictates how many tokens you're going to get or whatever your rewards are going to be. This is similar to what happens in Eternal Paradox, the daily e-time distribution. It's a race to get into the right placement. And because when you're in that placement, you get a certain percentage, a set percentage of the daily rewards. We're going to have to see how they work the tokenomics to determine how many are going to be given out per day. And we don't even know what token. We saw it was like TOLK. We'll see what they land on in the long run. We've seen a bunch of different games that kind of waffled back and forth between their own token, back to the Gala token. But it seems like they have a pretty good plan of keeping it simple for the arena earnings. This is a picture of their battle pass information. You can, just like any of the other games, you purchase the battle pass, and then it gives you the ability to like kind of climb through the tiers and earn things seasonally. He's going to the third item there. He's going to point out is an actual season creature that you can gain. So many of the things, like you can own your NFT cards or creatures, and those will be yours. But through the battle pass, you're going to be able to get access to things for an entire season. And some of them, I'd imagine they're going to make them relevant, make it worth purchasing the battle pass and then engaging the game in order to be able to unlock that.
And that will be, and you said like, so this character, that'll be a limited time, not an NFT. This is almost more of a database character attached to your account for the duration.
Yeah, it would be a seasonal battle pass item. Now, that doesn't mean that they can't make NFT versions available. It seems like each of the gacha style games that they've put out there, you can unlock them on the database, but then they also have made a way. The Scrolls of Minting were originally attached, that name came with Legends Reborn. So I'm assuming that there are going to be database characters that can be minted. But we also had the sales for items that went directly into NFT characters as well. So still nothing 100% set in stone as to full tokenomics. And there may be sales to come, but they are happy with the game, and they seem to be making the right kind of progress as far as getting it deployed in a way that it does incorporate the Web3 elements, particularly the ones that are already at large. I know I have a couple friends that are, they went to Malta and they've got themselves some Galacorns, and they're excited to be able to see what they do. Legends Reborn being a card game, that has potential. You know, there's a lot of people that enjoyed the format of it, a little just different enough from things like Hearthstone or Gods Unchained, that it could garner attention if they managed to nail the Web3 side of it. It almost seems like tagging Web3 onto a game, you're just magnifying the difficulty level of making it successful. Any number of these games that we've seen within Gala, they could be great, but then you throw Web3 in it, then you throw an economy in it that people are going to look for a way to exploit, and that just ups the ante in regards to actually being successful, because suddenly you're battling against a number of other forces that you wouldn't otherwise have to like deal with if it was just database items, particularly if there was no ownership. You know, if nobody can sell what they earn from the game, then no, people don't care as much about it, except for the fact that they want to play the game well, you know? And so most people will go about doing it the right way because there's no reason to do it the wrong way. As soon as you can extract from a system and make money at it, everybody that has a bad idea is going to try to deploy that in order to be able to profit.
Well, it's almost like you shouldn't say, it's almost to a point where like you shouldn't say it's a Web3 or a blockchain game. Kind of let that go. Like we were looking at, like there's this game called Off the Grid that's going to be going to Game Pass, and it's going to be on like PS5, and it's going to be on Steam, and it's a blockchain game. But if you just go to their website, you would never know. It doesn't say it anywhere. You have to like kind of dig to uncover, like, oh, okay, yeah, these are NFTs, but it doesn't. They're going that approach of let's make it Web 2. Let's make it look.
Oh, they're a Trojan horse. They're Trojan horsing. Yeah, they're getting in.
They're like, let's look and feel like a Web 2 game, so people play, love the game, and then we start going that Web 3 route because it's already built out. But let's not push that first and foremost. And they're going to be the first Web 3 game on Xbox. So I think there's the games that solely are like hammering the point of like this is a blockchain play to earn Web3 game. Yeah, I think it is I don't know how much it actually benefits you at this point.
Well, it was the right narrative 3 years ago. Okay. So 3 years ago, you wanted to be saying blockchain game because everybody was mystified about Bitcoin in general or Ethereum in general, smart contracts in general. What's an NFT? I've got to spend money on that. Now we've seen a bunch of the ups and downs that come from the economies, and it has a totally different flavor for people. And so what was a wonderful buzzword 3 years ago is now almost like a stigma. And yet it's still the same thing. You're still just taking a game and presenting it to the public. If you want your game to be successful, maybe you don't want to start with the negative press that Web3, blockchain, whatever other tech terms you might throw at it that give it the association with whatever it is that people imagine to be wrong about NFTs. You know, but the truth remains that it's still the best way to reestablish ownership for players. And it's a really good idea. And I would say that those of us that are really dug in agree that it's just inevitable. You know, this is one of those things that it's just going to happen. I saw that Disney just recently made a $1.5 billion deal, metaverse deal, essentially.
Fortnite.
Yeah. So, all the big companies are throwing money at it still, you know, whether or not they're going to bill it a certain way, it doesn't matter. It's the same technology behind it. There's the idea of ownership, and there's the idea of experiencing your games in a way that allows you to get something out of it rather than just like throwing your money at your entertainment and then being satisfied with the fact that money's gone.
I mean, I think it's going to be almost, I wouldn't be surprised if there's a rebranding of the word NFT in terms of like, I think someone's going to come along, and it's almost going to be like a, I think of it like, you know, like Q-tips are not the generic name for cotton swabs, but you call them all Q-tips or Ziploc bags or chapstick. Like, I think the NFT people are going to go someone, it's going to be Disney or it's going to be Nike, right? Someone's going to create a new version of whatever it's going to be called. They're going to, it's going to be a different acronym. And then everyone's going to be like, oh, well, and they're going to be NFTs, but people aren't going to think that first and foremost. They're going to be like, oh, it's a XYZ. Like, this is sick. Like, oh, look at what this can do. And all of us are going to be like, well, yeah, we know. But yeah, shoot. Cool.
Rebrand I've been using it. Cotton swabs the whole time.
Yeah, rebrand it. Sweet. I mean, and there's I think it's, or it's like the better explanation is like, you know, like Chilean sea bass. It's not that, that doesn't exist. It's like a super common fish that they, some chef was like, I wonder if I just call this something else and sell it, if people will like it. And it's like a premium fish now. And it's like,
it's a cod.
Exactly. And, but they call it Chilean sea bass and everyone raves over it. So it's like, someone's going to come and rebrand it in a positive light. And it's going to get, I think the NFT name has just been drug. It's just, you know, the ecosystem, we've talked about this for a while, is just kind of rampant with, you know, people trying to take advantage, scam, you know, cheat their way through, take shortcuts. So it's put us in a weird spot.
Yeah. Moving on there, we have a whole bunch that we could talk about with Mirandus, but we've also talked a lot about Mirandus. Just a real quick run through the highlights. The Mirandus team released their fireside chat last, oh boy, was it Friday?
Yes.
Yeah, and what they were doing was kind of giving an overview of the things that were discussed. Now they did start it with their standard format, which is the art updates and the tech updates. So Matt and Jason really like laid out a bunch of advances that they've made, but then they moved into just kind of a bullet point breakdown of the things that were discussed at the Austin, Texas in-person event, and there have been a ton of people that covered this. Dr. Wookie covered it. I know that Tim, you and Nate, you guys got invited on to the Mirandus Farmer's Almanac for a kind of just a discussion of what was happening while you guys were there. And it was really, that was really neat to listen to, because so many of the people that were there, like I think everybody that was actually in the audience was there at the meet and greet. It's like you're just getting back together for a rehash or something like that. But I think the only thing that I'd really like to point out, or the real important things right now to look forward to, which is the Field of Battle tech test. Originally, they had talked about a persistent tech test at the end of Q1, which they said they were probably going to have to push a couple weeks because of some of the tech issues. But they've decided to split it into two so that they can have a real like server test first. They want to get 1,000 different live characters into the server, into the game at the same time. Now they were saying like three, maybe between like 200-400 deer would be there, so that people that were coming in would be able to see an actual herd of deer, and that would be pretty cool. But that still means that they want to be able to get at least 600 people into the game, all at the same time. So hopefully we can be a part of drumming up some support for that. That we can. Anyone who has an exemplar can dive into the game whenever they give us the time for it. And we can really put the server to the test so that it gives them an opportunity. Primarily, they want to look for the places where it's going to break down. One of the things that they're looking for is memory leaks. They had some memory leaks in the last tech test that they were able to sniff those out and repair them. But there's any other number of possible ways that the servers could break down. And they want to be able to see where it's going to break first. And then that will prepare them for the persistent or semi-persistent, at least, demo that comes up next. And they've dubbed the land that we're going to be able to run around in. They're calling it King's March. And It's going to be big, and it's, and the magical creatures in there. And I, Tim, tell me if I'm wrong. The goblins are considered magical creatures in this regard, aren't they?
Yes.
It's just not animals. So the fantastic creatures, you know, the ones that would be of a fantasy setting, those will be carrying materium. There's a lot that I'd love to talk about, but we have many other things to get into, and maybe we can just maybe we can, if there's a big enough outcry for it, maybe we can host another like real breakdown of it. But again, like I said, there's so many people have already done it some very decent justice in regards to breaking down what was talked about. But it is really important. There's going to be two tests, and it's a really good idea if you do have the means to get into those tests and help them sort out the things that they need to see in order to be able to make the game better. Tim, I actually want to thank you because I needed to ask for some help. I was trying to figure out where the information came from, but Echoes of Empire kind of snuck an announcement or snuck an update out, and they didn't leave an announcement for it in any of the regular channels, neither in the Gala server nor in their own server. You had to go into the developer updates forum, and it kind of gave some details as to what was in the update. But this one was kind of had a sweeping change in the sense that you no longer were pigeonholed into having to do one thing at a time based on the order that they wanted you to upgrade your home base. Now you could kind of go on a streak with a certain building up to a certain point. They're calling the upgrade prerequisites a gate. And most of the time it's the command center that is the gate, but even the command center has certain requirements that once you get to a certain level, you need to lift other things up to a set level before you can push your command center higher. The point is that right now you can take certain more valuable buildings and maximize their level up to the certain gated point and get access to, say, in the case of blueprints, you can get access to the best blueprints and therefore be crafting the top level ships. And then you can slowly upgrade the other components that you would need for prerequisites to lift your command center level up or your research center. And so this is nice because we now have a little bit more liberty in regards to the way that we go about it. It still seems a little bit streamlined because it's obvious which ones are the most valuable buildings to focus on right away. But even so, like you're not forced to do anything anymore. You have a much greater freedom in regards to the way that you go about upgrading your home base. They did some other quality of life fixes, mostly like a bug fix for exploits, you know, like for too many support ships being tagged onto your flagship that you were sending out, your capital ship that you were sending out in order to be able to either mine or hunt or battle. Tim, you put out a tweet that we definitely want to talk about. I'll just turn it over to you, and you can kind of give us some perspective on your motives behind
it. Yeah. So, I mean, I've been running the. Y'all can hear me, right?
Yep.
Yeah.
Gotta make sure. I've been running the Gala Collective site plan every day, right? Day in, day out, doing all the daily quests. We have ran, from what I know, the only full-scale attacks, both full-scale attacks on the server, and we broke the server twice. I think, bugs aside, like, what were you, laughing at?
It's just funny that we broke the game twice from
from attacking,
of battles.
Yeah.
Which is dope, but then at the end of the day, we can't attack, and then this is the big problem, is it's not worth attacking right now. So yeah. Then if it's not worth attacking, then that takes away extermination. And then if there's nothing to explore, that takes away exploration. We don't have a full game. Yet we're all here. I mean, the Moth is very active. We're having fun. We're the community is complaining, but they're here, right? So, yeah. Like, there's a lot of promise to the game. And that's where, so the solution I want to get into, which is I'll release in my monthly update, because I'm going to write a monthly update for all the asset owners and the collective on my analysis of it. But it's also going to include the earnings and everything, because I'm doing it all public. But my solution to the game, the easiest solution is to raise the amount of gala that goes back into the game from spending. I don't like, my only questions are on the legal aspects of it, but I think 90% of the gala spent should go right back into the game. And then all of a sudden, Stardust matters, and now we want to attack. We want to attack and destroy each other and steal each other's Stardust, because we can actually earn some gala from it. And so, because right now Stardust is essentially rendered useless, it does nothing. Where, like I put in the tweet, I'm literally the number one Stardust holder. It does nothing for me in the game because it gave me 2.95 gala yesterday. Or let me see, 5 gala, whatever. It was like 5 gala yesterday. It didn't help me in the game because it's not even, I mean, it's 340 to get the lowest credit pack. So I think boost it up to 90. So many problems are solved. We're going to want to attack each other, destroy each other. Right now, everybody's complaining because it takes so long. It seems so hard to attack people, but I don't think seems so hard to attack people. I think the reward is so little that it's too hard to attack people. But if the reward is high, then all of a sudden making ships for a week and then having your Friday attack plans with your bros, that's all of a sudden way more fun, way more worth it.
Gets it back up to a 3X.
To a 3X. You had some, you know, positions of interest, and we're talking a 4X here. Like,
yeah.
It's not that, like, just a few, just a little bit of a difference. And but then also the problem is you got to fix the lag, and we can't be breaking the servers for attacking. So that's an easy one. It's just the lag, just getting that to where it's zero. When I play Fortnite, the lag is zero. When I play COD, the lag is zero. When I'm playing Exes of Empires, the lag needs to be zero. And there's still just glitches. Like, I mean, there's so many little glitches in it. Like little ships not showing up, images disappearing halfway through. Like, there's just not that crisp edge yet.
Yeah.
So, but
I would have loved for them to have released this just the same way that they did The Walking Dead Empires. That to have called this a public development demo and to just launch it as such, for us to for them to just say it's not done. But something happened there, and I don't know what it was. Maybe it was contractual.
I think it was just so. It's so illogical that it had to be contractual.
Yeah.
So, but it is what it is. That's why I'm trying to be positive. Like it, we need to call it what it is. But still, so much potential and possibility.
Yeah, I know that I'm stashing stuff. My blueprints are getting higher and higher level.
See, I get a different view, right? I get to go and collect the taxes on the claims every day.
Yeah.
I just found out, like, I'm realizing that all my uncommons right now are starting to get taxes. Because so many people aren't playing anymore, but I'm one of the only guys keeping all the claims reclaimed. So like people are actually using them because there's no other options around.
Yeah, you can't get Stardust if you're not going to an owned claim that has been refreshed.
But what it makes me think is players are playing, but claim owners are not.
Yeah, and that kind of makes sense. I mean, the if the claim owners are looking specifically at what they're getting out of it, well, then obviously we've been able to say there's not much. And so, but there's still a lot of people that just wanted to play a space Forex, and hopefully they can deliver on that. Hopefully they can continue making it into something that, that people are excited to turn on and plug into.
I hope so. We need to get the, Moff Zeta war going, cause we're the only ones in there.
Yeah. Then as soon as the game can handle it.
Exactly. Honestly, like, why not?
It's kind of there. I mean, there's plenty of hate between individual members. But
yeah. No, see, dude, literally as simple as this, like, this is how I'm thinking of it. Attacking is super fun, but you have to have teleports. If I can't fund my teleports with my attacking, then how can I attack? You know what I'm saying? So this is why I think they up the amount of gala that we get. We're going to start spending more gala on teleports because it's worth it, right? That's why I am excited. Like, they fixed the lag, and then I'm itching. I'm stocked up. I'm ready to attack people. And they just need to open it up for us.
Just need to make let it worth you. It.
Right, make it worth it.
Yeah. Kind of continuing on a not quite successful thing. Common Ground World. They are still working on the guild features. We had some updates in the town hall that Volcron was able to report. Some of the details they've been working on within the lending library that you now have the ability to withdraw your item from someone that has taken it in order to be able to use it within their build. But this is all kind of within the backdrop of us not having the nodes tokenized yet. That was something that originally we were told that it was going to happen at the end of January. And then we got an update that it was going to be 2 weeks later. And now they've just kind of gone silent about it. It's just not done. So we do not have tokenized Townstar nodes that should have become Common Ground World nodes. But those nodes are what is going to be the basis of the guild. So all the in-game work that they're doing is hinging on this tech side, this blockchain side stuff that that needs the nodes to be tokenized. So now, obviously, that's a huge undertaking. I mean, we're talking about multi-thousand-dollar items that are going to suddenly be something represented on the blockchain. So obviously the smart contract needs to be correct. It'd be nice to have more communication. No, we're not done yet. Fine. Tell us. No, we're not done yet. Maybe here's why. Maybe this is what we ran into. We've got some teams that are more than happy to tell us. Nope. You know, the Miranda's team's able to tell us, you know, we were originally saying end of quarter one, but because of this specific thing, probably going to have to push it into Q2. Thank you guys for being patient with us.
Just wow, make it make sense.
It's amazing. It's amazing how far that goes. Just being able to say, wow, nope, we need more time. But that's not what we have right now. We don't know when it is. We did get a statement from Bitbender that a light paper should be coming sometime. And then I quote, with good updates coming hopefully within the next several weeks. So kind of a non-committal,
yeah,
much further extension on all the stuff that they were originally predicting would be in our hands 3 weeks ago now. And also, the town hall did mention that the daily challenge is scheduled to be back online at the end of Q2. So they're kind of giving themselves another like hurdle, because I don't know if one has to be in place before the other. Maybe so, maybe not. I'm not sure. But the daily challenge is, of course, what is what you engage in game in order to do what used to be the play to earn from the 2021 and 2022 Townstar days. So we'll see if they can make that. I don't know if that one is as dependent on the chain team or if that's something that the Common Ground World team themselves is going to be able to deliver entirely. If it is, I kind of expect a little bit more communication. The Common Ground World team, the ones actually building the game, maintaining the game, they are pretty pretty communicative. And we can see that with just the things from week to week, the way that they change the metas, all the little details that they go into explaining it, the sales that come week by week for the different metas, they step us all through those things and make it very clear as to what they're doing and why that particular thing matters that week. Because it's not just their rodeo and they have other teams that they're waiting on there. I feel like there's just so much that they're kind of hogtied and don't get a chance to say anything about certain things. And yet they're still the face of it. You know, they're the ones that we're all pointed at and they're the ones that have to field the questions from us because the people that are actually responsible for the work that, isn't quite finished yet, though we don't have an interface with those people. So that's difficult. Not wanting this to go too much further, did want to mention that Eternal Paradox had their second Rings of Ruin Conquest for season 2, and the Dub Guild won. Like it was a remarkable bit of strategy. I'm not going to give away any secrets because there was some real number crunching from people like Planet Bob. Dubstep Rod was definitely involved in that. Kazuto, one of the top members of the Dub Guild, he was a real champ in regards to anchoring some of the rallies that really mattered. Dub took first. Square 12 finished in second. That was an interesting back and forth too because the EPX Guild was relentless, but they managed to finish in third this time. And then Champions Arena, they've released their season 6 battle pass, but they also have come out with something called a light pass. So any of you that are enjoying Champions Arena, there's a light version, not quite as intense. And Raxos is the name of the season 6 hero. I don't know. The art is kind of wild back and forth with Champions Arena, and this character seemed to be one of the ones that they kind of dialed it back a little bit for. he was a little bit mellower and easier to stomach. Not quite as dynamic. Not quite as like brutal or aggressive. Definitely doesn't have visible boobs. It was just like some kind of moon character.
Exactly.
But he's available for as the season 6 hero. There was some other news that we need to get to though. I guess we have now I'm stalling out. I don't know.
The name change.
Right. I'm sitting there looking at Blake and I'm like, he's just like, I wasn't sure if we were going to play this. Yeah. So, as anyone watching has probably, known, we've been building a collective for some time. The Discord server, is active. There's a lot of people that show up to it. We've decided to officially rebrand as the GG Collective. Now this is kind of all encompassing. We were talking about all the different things that could represent, all the different possibilities, but really it's about good games. We're asset owners. We're players. We're people that enjoy good games, and we're going to be we're going to be all kind of like gathering under the same banner in order to help promote these games at the source. Like the people that are developing these games, we want to stand side by side with them. We want to bring players. We want to bring attention. We want to help promote and get an excited community involved in these games. And we believe that the best way to put ourselves out there is with this GG Collective name. Guys, anything else that we want to like focus on there? Anything to add?
Yes, I think it's kind of a two-sided approach, I think, of why we decided to do this. You know, one was, you know, we're not directly affiliated with Gala. You know, we obviously have our roots in Gala. We've been, you know, part of this ecosystem for a long time individually, and we still want to keep on that path of, you know, building experiences, tools, games within games, you know, ways to use your Gala chain assets amongst whatever projects might come about. But, you know, we're not directly affiliated with Gala. There was some confusion being caused in terms of, oh, are you guys, you know, oh, you guys are a part of Gala. Like, you, and there was a lot of confusion just kind of coming up about that directly. And so we were kind of thinking, okay, you know, how do we still want to be a part of the Gala ecosystem? Like, we're not, that's nowhere near the purpose for our name change was because we're abandoning Gala. But the mix of influx of questions regarding our direct affiliation with them, and then also almost bigger is, you know, people are like, oh, are you only going to be in Gala games? Like, are you going to explore inner ecosystems? Like, is this a whole Web3 DAO or is this just a Gala DAO? And, you know, that was something we've set out from the very beginning is we want to be inclusive to any project, any community that wants to come and be a part of the collective. And, you know, being named the Gala Collective kind of, you know, automatically shielded other ecosystems from being able to utilize what we're building. So when you look at those two things, there's a lot, I think it alleviates any potential confusion amongst, yeah, you know, people coming to this for the first time. Like, okay, oh, this is a holistic thing. They have roots in Gala. They're, you know, exploring those ecosystems, but, oh, they're also getting into Star Atlas and Playable and Treasure and, oh, all these shrapnel, you know, they're bringing in. We want to be listening to our community. You know, whatever the GG token holders decide they want to pursue, they should have the right to pursue that. And if the name itself is a potential barrier to that, you know, it's a simple enough thing that we think, you know, GG's in the chat. It's a, we like the GG name. It fits well with the GG token. And
yeah, that's my number one thing is it looks way cooler.
It does.
Oh, it's ggcollective.gg. That's fucking badass, dude.
Yeah, the website looks cool.
The GG, right? Because when I was making the design for it, when we first started talking about changing it, I was like, oh, is it going to look weird with GG? Like, is it going to change it? And then I'm like, no, it looks way better. It looks like it was always meant to be, is what it feels like for me. So I'm pumped for it. I think it stands for everything that we, or it encases everything that we stand for.
100%.
So, yeah.
I'm excited.
I'm right there with you. I just think it opens up, you know, more doors. It allows us to be more holistic in our total approach. And, you know, it was something we talked about for a long time. You know, we've been considering it for a while because those were questions we were getting as soon as we started pushing this out. Because people are like, oh, how's Gala supporting you? What, you know, all these things. And we're like, nah, you know, okay, we're causing a degree of confusion. We should try to avoid that. So yeah, no, we're really excited about it. Yeah, you're obviously going to see some rebranding stuff. We have some other big announcements that are going to be coming either today or, you know, at the very beginning of this week, you know, kind of in regards to Feed Starter, you know, our whole campaign going forward. We have a hard date that we're going to be announcing as far Excellent. As, you know, when the token sale is going to be going live. And we are about to hit the ground running. So it's going to be exciting and intense.
And at the same time, we're still going to be running the Gala Gazette. Like there is no doubt that we have reason to stay focused on everything that Gala themselves are building.
For sure.
And with their focus shifting largely to Gala chain, it'll be interesting to see what else comes their way. Maybe We'll be seeing a lot of games that they're far more hands off with, because they've made certain tools available to developers that just like the way that the chain works.
Yep.
And these are all things that we're going to be covering.
A great distinction too is it's not that we're going away from Gala. We are literally going to be the number one Gala partners in the ecosystem. I know that it's just a dope name. It's better. It's more inclusive to everything. It's us. We're a part of the Gala ecosystem. So I think it's,
yeah,
but dude, Star Atlas is fucking dope. And you got all these other games that are awesome big time. And all these other games, it's like, we're the GG collective, baby. We're GGs. We're about games. We don't care. Like, let's do it.
Yeah, 100%. Nope, I think that's exactly where we're at. You know, good games, man. That's what we're about. And
good game.
Building an awesome community to go with it. So I think that's a good stopping point. I feel like we covered everything and I like it.
Yeah.
Anything else anyone wants to add?
I got nothing.
Yeah, we're good. Thank you guys very much for tuning in. And we'll keep bringing you the news.
Yeah, stay tuned. We got more announcements coming. So we will talk to y'all next week and keep your eyes open.
See you guys. Thanks.
See everyone.